Blog Talk Radio.
Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen, amen. Good morning. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. It's September the 22nd, 2018. We thank God for you. Thank God for those who have joined us online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. Also, if you called in, it's 646-668-2636. Thank you. Thank you for taking time this morning, getting up and listening to us and joining the conversation. If you would like to join the conversation, press 1 on your keypad, and we can bring you in. Today we're going to be talking about God's man knows who he is. As men of God, we have to know who we are. We have to know who God says we are. We have to walk in assurance and securing of our salvation, who we are in Christ, and who God says we are. Not to be defined by the world, not to be sometimes, even for some of us, not to be defined by our family and those around us who call us things and talk things over our lives, but who God says we are once we have been redeemed, once we are surrendered to him, and once we become disciples of Jesus Christ, and we are God's own children. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm going to start off a little bit. We have announcements. Again, our upcoming man's event, the Coalition of Ministries of Man presents Man Up, Strength and Submission. It's going to be on Saturday, October the 20th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's going to be located in Glen Burnie, Maryland, at 6716 Governor Ritchie Highway in Glen Burnie. You can reach out to us at 443 591-3504 to register. We're asking for a $20 donation for registration to cover the lunch and the toolbox. Or you can email me at rejoicetv@gmail.com, rejoicetv@gmail.com. We have a PayPal account set up. We can send you the link, and you can register there and for your $20. Participating ministries, New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders with Apostle Etta Banks, Pastor Alexander Butler from Perfect Order Church in Baltimore, Pastor Arthur Thompson from Living Waters in D.C., and Pastor George Sharps from Jesus Lives Ministry and Fellowship. These men's groups are coming together. These pastors have agreed to participate. But we invite you, if your church is not part of it, but we invite men to come out, husbands, fathers, sons, bring your sons, bring your nephews. Ages are from 15, 16 up. And we're going to have a time of fellowship, time of instruction, and encouraging. And just to encourage us to be the men of God we called us to be, and set a foundation. And then again, to be able to look at ourselves, see where we are, how far we've come, and how far God is yet going to take us through our submission. So it's Man Up, Strength and Submission, Saturday, October the 20th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Amen. You can also go on our Facebook page and our Twitter page. It's Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk, and on Twitter, it's Issues Men's Talk on Twitter. You see the link there. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and you see the updates, you see the links, you see the devotionals, a lot of men's events going on locally here in the D.C. Baltimore area, and then just words of encouragement. Just for men to be who they are in Christ, as we are leaders in the home, in the community, and in the church. Amen? Amen. Well, real quick, I wanted to share, again, for those who are listening, because as I know, I can tell by who's listening and some of the responses we get from some of our programs, the unsaved, the ones who don't, the non-Christians, those who have not yet believed, those who just don't believe Christ, don't believe the Word of God. But I just want to take time out to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you. Real quick, just to plant a seed. I mean, I know that we've heard sermons for an hour or 4 hours, or we've heard teachings that have taken 6 and 7 weeks. But I want to share the gospel real quick in the next 60 seconds that someone might be encouraged. And as always, if you call in here at 646-668-2636, we can attempt to answer any of the questions you might have about the gospel, about Christianity, that might encourage you to come and come into the knowledge of Christ and believe, trust him, and come to faith in him, that you might be saved and have eternal life. Amen. First, let me begin by saying that God loves you, but God hates sin. Even if you're a good person, you have not lived a perfect life, if you are honest with yourself, nor has anyone else. Your sin has separated you from God. Your payment for sin is death and hell. But there is good news. A perfect substitute can make your payment. And God loves you so much that he gave Jesus Christ as your substitute. And through his death, you can live life eternally. And by his resurrection, death is defeated. This gift is free. You can never deserve it. And just by accepting this gift, your sins will be forgiven and forgotten. And you will be reconciled to God and live with him forever in heaven. As simple as that. That's the gospel. If you have any questions for that, that's a launching pad there. If you have any questions, you can always call us. You can reach out to us on Facebook, inboxes, and we can go into more detail. But I just wanted to plant that seed in the hearts and minds of those who are listening, who have not yet come to faith or understanding of Jesus Christ and what he has done in redemption of our souls. Amen? Amen. But again, today we're going to be talking a little bit. We're going to be having discussion. We have Elder Mark is going back with us from New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. And we're going to be talking about God's man knows who he is. And we have to know and be assured who we are. Because again, if a man doesn't know who he is, how can he lead his family? If he doesn't know who he is, how can he serve God? If he doesn't know his God and know his relationship with God, then how can we evangelize? How can we make disciples? How can we do what God has called us to do for a purpose if we don't know who we are? Because again, the enemy will try and bring doubt and fear and doubt and insecurities into our life to get us off track, get us off the path, and get us off the call that God has made on each of our lives. Because again, God saved us for a purpose. I know some of my brothers out there who've been in church for years, I want you to realize something. I don't know if he was ever told this, but God didn't save you to save for you. He did not give, he did not redeem you. He did not open your eyes. He did not fill you with the Holy Ghost just for you. It's for someone else. And our lives are to be lived that we might be able to edify the body of Christ and also glorify him to a lost and dying world. If we look around this culture today and we see what's going on, not only here in America, I don't want to limit God to here in America because the things in America is, you know, it's like up and it's like the stock market, it's up and down. And people, and a lot of people say things that, that may be of God, not necessarily of God. And we use the word Antichrist a lot for a lot of different reasons, but we're not there. God is working in this world. Until his son, Jesus Christ, returns, we all are called as Christian men to minister the gospel, to make disciples, and spread his word. Amen. Elder Mark, can you hear Amen. Me? Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir. God bless. How are you?
I'm wonderful, brother. Thank you again for joining us. Thank you for being part of the program. And I pray a blessing over your family and over you and your endeavors and what you're doing. And I appreciate your consistency and dedication to come on the show, brother. I appreciate it. Thank you.
It's been a blessing. Thank you, sir.
Amen. Well, Elder, we're going to start and open up. As a man of God, we know who we are. And for me and for the brothers that are listening, if you say it, you say with me, I am a redeemed man. We are redeemed. We are redeemed. We have to understand that we're redeemed. That none of the sins we commit, I don't care what you've done, I don't care who you've done it to, how many times you've done it. Once you come to Christ, your sins are forgiven. And you are redeemed back unto him. You're no longer his enemy. You have your life, the debt that you have accrued over your life in sin and your future. And your future is an inheritance. Excuse me. Your future inheritance is to spend eternity with God. And here on earth, we have to know who we are to be able to speak these things in life. I'm going to go to scripture real quick, and I'm going to come to you, Elder. I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter number 1, because we're going to go where the word says who we are. We have to be able to believe the word, because without the word is truth. That's a whole other teaching about the Bible and when we believe what the word is, but I'm going to go that we know that the word is the word of God given to man and to give us directions and guidance, and it is our blueprint. So the word of God says to us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 13 and 14, it says, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, is in whom also after that you believe and you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, earnest of our inheritance until the redemption, until the redemption of the purchased property. Possession unto the praise of his glory. This tells us who we are in God. It's the gospel. We believe. We're saints. We're sealed. And the proof of and the proof of our salvation and the proof that we kept it is the sealing of the Holy Spirit that lives within us and dwells in us. And we are changed. We're renewed. We are transformed. We are more, and then we are transformed to be his disciple, to be his God's children and be disciples of Christ. But other way to say, the importance of us knowing who we are in Christ, that we are redeemed men.
I believe it is one of the, if you don't understand who you are, you don't understand the power that's within you. If you don't understand who you are, you don't know your resources. If you don't understand who you are, you can be led down a path that takes you away from the promises that have been created for you. And like you said, Deacon Farr, the enemy, Satan, will throw everything at you, every temptation, every plot, every ploy to take you out of the will of God. But if you don't know what the will of God is for you, you don't realize that you're losing out. You don't realize what you're walking yourself into. I believe one of the subjects that we talked about at one of the First Man Up meetings, and forgive me, I can't remember the pastor's name that taught on it, but he talked about the 32nd choices that you can make that ruin your life. And even in those small times, that little bit of time that you make a choice, if you don't know who you are, you don't know whose you are, you can lose your life. You can lose all the rewards God has for you. You can lose out on the opportunity to be the the conduit for his blessings for not only your family or those around you, but for yourself. You lose out on that just because you missed the mark because you didn't know what the mark was. As we learn more of God, we learn more about ourselves. There's a call upon us, a call from the days that of the that Adam, the first man, the original man. There's a call upon our lives, but every day we fall short of that call because we don't know what the call is. If you want to change something, as I always say, if you want to change something, change yourself, change your understanding to see who you're called to be so you can move into the place to receive the promises made for you. And a lot of us are like, well, I've done too much. God doesn't love me. God won't do this. That's a trick of the enemy. So, because you don't know who you really are and whose you really are. You don't know what you belong to and what's inside of you and what will always be inside of you. We just have covered it up with the walls built by our situations, by our lives, by everything going on around us. But the day that you come to the understanding of what God has already spoken about you, knowing that he knows everything about you, everything you needed to get to the place that you'll receive the rewards that he created for you and specifically for you, it's like, what's the word, what somebody used to say, it's like ice skating uphill. It's a mission. It's something that you can't do it. You can't attain something without understanding what it is you're trying to attain. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir, and I agree. You know, it's a knowledge. It's coming to the knowledge of Christ. You know, that's one of the things that I always emphasize, especially in the man-up meetings and in our small groups and our Bible studies. It's the knowledge of who Jesus Christ was, his death, burial, and resurrection, his birth, the scriptures, understanding scriptures to understand what the promises God has made, that we, if we come to Christ by faith, and I think that's the importance that we encourage every man to be able to read, to study, to understand who you are in Christ, that you are fully redeemed, that your life, the debt of your life in sin is been paid. You're no longer who you used to be. All the sin, the debt that was going to be paid. I read it earlier in the beginning about there's a debt owed because of our sin, and the wages of sin is death. But God sent his son. So we have to understand because of Jesus Christ, our sin debt has been paid. Now God values us. We are his son. We have an heir. We're joint heirs with Christ. We have inheritance. And for my brothers out there, I don't like to use the Christianity terms a lot, but just understand this. You are a son. Now you have the same rights as if your father or your parent passed away or left you an inheritance. And they left you an inheritance, and the security that you had that inheritance, you have a promissory note. You have a trust fund. You may not get it right now, but because you're a son, you know that your inheritance is coming. You know that a certain time and date is going to come. You know that when even there's going to be certain events that's going to happen, and you're going to have access to the full promise, but the down payment, they might give you a couple thousand dollars of down payment until you can be, given the full inheritance. And that's where we are in the spiritual realm. The Holy Spirit within us is a down payment. And for us to be obedient and be submissive unto the Spirit and the Word of God, the Bible, understanding the Bible, knowing the Bible, applying the Bible, is a down payment. So we, as men of God, knowing that the debt has been paid and the promise has been made, and we are important to God so much that he has reserved a spot for us in heaven. It is in him to spend eternity with him. No matter how long we live here on earth, if we live here 25 years to 16 years, 85 years, or if we're blessed with 120 years, the time we're going to spend it in his presence in heaven is going to far outlast that, because that's eternity. That's the rest of our existence, because we're going to die and go somewhere. It's either spend time with him or spend time in punishment with the enemy, with the devil. And these are things that, again, in Scripture, Scripture plainly teaches this. These are the doctrines of Scripture. But I need every man, and I encourage every man, to study, to understand who you are, that you are redeemed, and then live this thing out. Live like a redeemed man. I think that's some of our problems. We don't live like we have a promise. We have a destiny, and we have a purpose. Because in the natural, we sometimes struggle with purpose. We struggle with who we want to be, where we want to go to college, what kind of job do we want to have, what do we want as entrepreneurs. Sometimes we struggle of, do I have enough skill? to do the thing and make money and take care of myself or be successful in it. You know, because success is measured differently by every man. But, you know, but knowing who you are, knowing what you're capable of, it's in confidence and skill and the assurance of who Christ and what Christ has taught and what God has said about us. We live our lives differently. And that's the thing we also have to be for those in the church, those who have confessed. We have to be conscious of how we live and how people see us. If we confess to be Christians, we confess to be God's man, how we live, how we treat our families, how we treat our coworkers, how we treat our members in our local congregations, our family and God, all of that God is looking at, and God wants us to be his representative in all those situations. Amen? Now, I want to go real quick to scripture. Galatians chapter number 1, verse 14. Well, I'm gonna go with verses 13 and 14, and then I want you to talk a little bit about this because it's something we, again, it's being secure in who we are. I mean, just like you know who you are, you know your elder Mark, you know your wife, you know your kids, you know your family, you're the son of your parents, and you're secure and you walk in that thing. And I think that's the same kind of confidence we need to be as men when we say that we're redeemed men and walk in that thing. So Colossians chapter 1, verse number 13 says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And I think that's the thing a lot of men struggle with, knowing that they're forgiven of their sins. I just want you to talk about that. Being that men struggle with realizing that no matter what they've done, that they are forgiven. God has forgiven you of it. And we struggle with moving on. So what do you say to those two points, sir?
And I'd like to first start off with the forgiveness of sin as being a redeemed man. And like you said, Deacon Farr, so many of us will say, we can't even believe that we can truly be forgiven of what we've done. And that somebody still loves us, even though what we've done. I was speaking to a young gentleman, and he was about my age. This was a good couple of years ago, though, when I really was, I don't want to say beginning, beginning my new walk. Not that I had, I've always been at the church, but the church wasn't always in me. But in beginning my new walk and speaking to other men, trying to encourage other men, I was talking to a gentleman and we started talking about forgiveness. And he says, yeah, I hear that, but you don't know what I've done. And I said, I may look like I've got it getting together, but you don't know what I've done. None of us know what the other one has done. None of us know what the other one has thought. But equally, the forgiveness of our sin removes all those stains and blotches. I was given opportunity to minister, and I talked about if you look at yourself in the mirror, and you're looking at the man in the mirror. See, God has already wiped that mirror clean. But what the enemy does will stand beside you, and throw back at you everything that you've been through. Throw back all the times of doubt, all the times of misfortune, everything that you did, and say that God doesn't love you. What his word says that you're forgiven, but you're not really forgiven. He hasn't forgotten that stuff. And that clean mirror that God would want you to see yourself in, now it's like somebody throwing mud at it. And every day you start to see these things that look like, oh, there's no way that God can see me clean. And then you don't even see yourself as clean. So now you say, you know what? There's no sense in me living redeemed. There's no sense in me living a clean life. Because I'll always look like this. When I see myself, I'll always be the one full of stain, full of dirt, covered in muck. I will never be the clean vessel that the Bible talks about that I am. So we walk away from it. It's something I talked about before. We see ourselves in a win or a loss column. And if it looks like a loss, we don't continue to race. So if you feel like, oh, there's no way that I've been forgiven for what I went through or what I've done or what I've thought, then you'll believe that you can't be forgiven. So why even try to live in a position that you have been forgiven? Why try to be redeemed? Why try to live as a man serving God? Why try to live like I have a relationship with God if I can never get to the place that I'm forgiven? We've got to take hold to that forgiveness and believe that we truly have been redeemed. I mean, we could sit here at Deacon Fall, you know, we could both tell stories of who we were, what we did, and even some of the stuff we're still going through. And people would look like, wow, you went through that? Yep, sure did. Still struggle with it every day. But because I know I'm redeemed, the struggle isn't as hard, because I know I can turn to my Father and say, Lord God, I need your direction. Because as a redeemed man, I have a relationship, because his blood has forgiven me of those past sins, even though the enemy every day is going to try to get me to think about what I did before and where I was, what I messed up on and what I didn't do when I wasn't serving, what I did when I wasn't serving God. Fornication, you know, alcohol, whatever past life, drugs, whatever, anything, whatever. If you come to God and ask for salvation, you said the sinner's prayer and confessed that Jesus Christ had died and was died for your sins, crucified on the cross, and 3 days later was risen and ascended and is at the right hand of God our Father, and that you believe he is your Savior, that prayer, that sinner's prayer, wipes away all the past sins. It doesn't give you permission for iniquity, which is to continue to sin and knowingly do so. But you can be forgiven of any and everything if you come with a repenting heart. That's part of being redeemed. Every day your birth is a new creature. That means I leave behind what I messed up on yesterday. I wake up today and say, Lord God, forgive me. Lord God, start anew in me today. Start me afresh today. Let me see that clean mirror that you see me in so that I can move forward and be who you called me to be. I can be the redeemed one that will share who you are. I can be a testament to who you are, because somebody who knew how dirty I was can see me living a life redeemed, can see me living a life clean, serving you, and they'll want the same thing. Discipleship and evangelist, living our life redeemed so that others can see what redemption looks like, so others can see what forgiveness look like, so others can see what the abundant blessings look like, not just for you to receive them, not for you to feel good all the time, but for someone else to know that there's a possibility, there's an opportunity, that there's a God there, the one and true God is there waiting to give them that same blessing, to give them that same forgiveness, to give them that same opportunity to share that life with someone else so that another person is blessed and they will all receive the blessing. Back to you, sir.
Yes, sir. You know, I agree. I thank you for that. Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Fall. Here today we're talking about God. Man knows who he is. You know, we have to know who we are, how God sees us, and what God has called us for. And, Elder, I agree with what you're saying, too, is some of the things that we have to realize that we are redeemed. And God, again, it's twofold, because you touched on that evangelism piece and that outreach piece, because there's those who know us before, and they need to see our lives transform and change to see us mature. You know, they have to see, because that, again, God didn't save us for us. He saved us to be an example, just like he chose Israel out of all the other nations in the world back in ancient times. He chose Israel to be an example of himself on earth. So, you know, and even and they fail. We know they fail. We have a whole Old Testament about their failures, their redemption. They failed. God redeemed them. They failed. God brought them back. They failed. God punished them, brought them into captivity, brought them out of captivity. He blessed them. He redeemed them. I mean, this is why we must read Scripture. We must read the Bible. We must read it and get all this, that it gives us, because, again, God's Word is our guidance and our direction. So we see what redemption looks like in the Old Testament. So now we have to understand, as men of God, this is what Christ has done for us individually now, as professed Christians. And this is what it is. We look forward to the meaning, to the purpose that God has a future for us. Some of us come from places that we didn't have a future. Some of us right now today may not think we have a future, but we do. And God has a purpose for us. It may not be you know, again, you know, we in these last couple, I think it's probably 15 to 20 years now that we've been, the church has been in this midst of false teachers talking about prosperity and health and wealth. You know, that's a show. I discussed this earlier in other shows, but that's where we're at. And that's not what God's purpose for us all is, but his purpose that he can be used to, again, glorify him and to edify the body. So what are we doing, and what are you as men, as husbands, as fathers, as men of God, what are we doing to edify, to encourage the body, to strengthen the body? You know, we talk about this all the time here at Issues Christian Men's Talk about what are we doing in our local congregations and our local fellowships to fulfill the purpose and the vision and the mission of the ministry. What are we doing in our own lives? What are we doing to share the gospel in our families? And what are we doing as husbands? Are we nurturing our wives? Are we supporting our wives? Are we loving our wives? Are we loving our wives sacrificially, as the Word of God teaches and tells us to do? Again, these are all things that the Word of God gives us. The Word of God tells us about studying to show ourselves approved. Because how can we live out a life of Christ if we don't know who Christ is? And if we don't know what he's called on our life and what we ought to do? Because some things in Scripture, every man is accountable to. We all may have gifts and talents and specific callings, but there's some things that are universal for every born-again, faithful disciple and believer of Jesus Christ. Amen? So I'm going to go to another scripture, because I want to encourage you out of the Word for the brothers out there that are listening, those who have called in at 646-668-2636. Again, if you push one on your keypad, we can bring you in. You can give a comment, ask a question. We encourage you, for those of you at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Barr, we encourage you to take a time out and call in. Or you can even inbox us on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk. You can inbox us there. We can get your questions there and reach out to you. Amen. So we'll go to Titus. We'll go to Titus, chapter number 2. Titus, chapter number 2. And I'm going to go to verses number 13, 14. I'm going to start at verse number 13. And the Word of God says, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a particular people, zealous for good works. Again, we have to know who we are. God, Jesus Christ has come to redeem us, and now for the good works. And the good works part is, let me say this. I'm going to come to you, Elder, after this, because it's one thing I want to be clear. As Christian men, as the church as a whole, the works that we do to serve the lost, the community, and how we interact with folk, we're not doing those things to gain our salvation. We're doing those things because of our salvation and commitment to God and how we are to minister to this world, to the lost, and to each other. They're zealous for to do something. What are we doing? What are you doing? And every man out there, what are you doing that God has you to do to minister, to help someone else, to edify the body and also the unbeliever? What kind of character example are we setting? How are we serving out there? Okay? We're not doing it for our salvation, but we're doing it because of our salvation and love of God. What do you say, Elder?
I would like to, and forgive me, I always say this, I don't want to say a secular comparison, but I want to just kind of put that in world terms.
Well, just use like a metaphor, brother, a metaphor.
There you go, that's the word I was looking for. I knew I could depend on you, thank you. But yes, a metaphor. Okay, so if you compare yourself to a building, at yourself as a building and those around you, you're building up something. Now, each block in this building has to be built upon a foundation for it to get a straight wall. So you start with this cornerstone. The cornerstone is Christ, is God. And from that, each wall of this building, but you see each level of blocks have to line up straight, but they've got to be there for the next level to line up straight and for the next level to line up straight, all connecting and building and then being shored up off of the foundation and the footing and that cornerstone, which is Christ. But if one of those blocks is twisted and turned a little bit, and that's the guiding line for the next block, the wall starts to swerve off. It's no longer straight. So now, as you build up higher and higher, and you're preparing to put on the roof to cover all of those things inside that you as the building hold valuable, your family, your home, your job, all those things aren't under a cover anymore. So when the storm comes, they're out in the open elements. But if you follow that straight wall, if you follow that cornerstone, if you follow those things, and you too show someone else, or those that are part of your building blocks, those that are part of your family, those that are part of the ones you want to protect, when they are lined up and following a good line, now when it gets to the roof to cover everything, it fits good and everything is covered. Everything inside is now protected. So what I'm saying to you is, if you connect with God and stay lined up with God, even when the storm comes, sometimes there's a small leak. Sometimes there's things that have to be tightened and buttoned up. Sometimes you got to put another shingle on the roof. There will always be storms that will weaken the structure. But if the main structure, the cornerstone, is there and the lines follow straight, it's not something you got to tear down to rebuild. You can continually add on top of it to make it stronger. But if the baseline, if you are out of line, then those walls get curvy and all mixed up and torn out of place and pushed the wrong way in and out. So now when you try to put the roof on, you try to put the cap on, you try to put the finishing touches on it to make it, to show how it's going to look for everybody else to see what God can do, for everybody else to see what can be done in you and through you, those walls look all wavy. If you walk into a neighborhood and you see a wavy house with walls all bent up, you're like, whoa, what's going on here? But when you see a solid structure, it makes you want to come inside and see what's going on. That's the way evangelism is. When people see us living right in a redeemed life, they want to see what's going on. But if your world is all mixed up and thrown up and tore up in places and holes in the walls and the things don't fit together, they look at it like, that doesn't even look safe. I don't know if I want to go over there. In your redemption, your house is now being built up straight. Sometimes we go through situations, we go through those storms where we were out of line. We go through those storms just so God can show us we need to tear down that old wall and start it new. And when we tear down that wall and start it new and it's lined up, now when the cap is on it, somebody else who saw us before is going to want to come in and see how we did the improvement. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. And I appreciate that metaphor because, again, if Christ is our foundation, Christ is our rock, that's what we build on. And that's where it goes to with zealous for the works when it talks about those works and understanding that we are redeemed, that God has a plan for us, that we have to stay true to the foundation. And that goes to being true to the word, being obedient to the Holy Spirit, and even as we talk about what we're going to be in teaching, in the Man Up Conference, is being our strength is in our submission unto God. Our strength is our submission unto the Word of God. Our strength is our submission to the role and purpose that God has planned for us. I mean, because sometimes we do things out of our own flesh, our own desires, our own purposes that are not necessarily the thing that God wants us to do. And even in the church, we get stuck in complacency, we get stuck in a spiritual rut, we get comfortable, and we don't want to do anything different than what we've been doing. What we've been doing for the last 15 years, I think that's good enough. I think I'm pleasing to God because I show up, I pay tithes, offerings, and I do that minimum thing. I do that 2 hours a week, and I do whatever, the 10%, and, you know, all the things that we're comfortable with that become habit and routine. But none of it is obedient to God. Because, again, we're going to be standing in judgment. God's going to judge our works. Because he's going to judge the works of all. He's going to judge the works of the unbeliever, the unrighteous, the wicked. And he's going to judge the works of the righteous and the saved. So again, look at we have, as every man, we have to look at ourselves again in the mirror as we're brushing our teeth, combing our hair, and shaving. What are we doing? How are we living? Are we pleasing to God? Because it's not a mystery. I mean, people talk about, you know, praying for the will of God and knowing the will of God. The will of God is in Scripture. You know, I've learned a long time ago. I'm not going to say that I was always there, but I also got to the point where you have to realize the will of God for our lives, every Christian, every believer, is in the Word of God. His will is in our Word, and through His Holy Spirit, His application and the guiding and directives. And we have to be submitted unto that and be faithful to it and endure it and get out of, again, this is a maturity thing, but we have to get out of the man-pleasing. Because, again, if we look at Scripture, it didn't take a crowd for God to do what He did. And when He did have a crowd, none of them were there. None of that crowd was there when the testing time came for Jesus Himself or for the 12. You know, so, you know, we have to get to that place where we're going to do what God has called us to do, because sometimes for some of us, we are called just to reach one other person, not a crowd, not to build a church, not to sustain a ministry. I mean, God's going to bless you for a season possibly, but then there's one who that would have been reached that would have never been reached if you were not faithful to the call. And we have to, and every man has to stand before and consider those things. Because, again, like the elder was saying, the things that we go through, we have more in common than we are different. As a husband, we have more in common than we are different in the struggles and the challenges, the temptations and the trials. As husbands, as fathers, we have more in common than we are different. I know we like to wear the stickers, my child is an honor roll student, my child is this, my child is on sports, my child is cheerleader, my child, whatever my child is, but we know, you know, we only tell the good things about our child, because I never see no stickers on the back of cars that says, well, my child is a C student, and I'm proud of him. You know, none of that is there. My child just barely graduated high school and has a job now, and I'm proud of him. We don't see that. We see honor students. We see even... I don't want to pick off, but we even see the stickers. I'm a parent of a Marine. I'm a parent of a sailor. You know, we're proud of our children's accomplishments, but what kind of parent are we when our child fails, when our child falls short, when our child is struggling? That's what God is judging us on. It's easy to boast and brag in the good times, but where are we at in the seasons and the down times? And that's where a challenge of who we are and knowing who we are is important as men of God. Because if I'm redeemed, and I know what God is, but I know if I'm redeemed and know that I'm redeemed and know how I'm redeemed and who redeemed me, I know that God can do the same thing for those that I'm responsible for, starting with my wife, starting with my kids, starting with my coworkers, starting with my church family. So we're going to see people different and treat people different as men of God and make and be, again, edifying to the body and glorifying Him in our lives. Amen. So I just want to encourage everyone out there, you know, that's listening. It's a process. It's not something that's going to come right away. It's not something that you're going to, you have to be consistent. You have to be faithful to that thing. And then let God change you. Because sometimes we get into, we get into that thing we think we're going to accomplish it. If we check all the boxes, we're going to be good. And we think we're done and think we don't need to do anymore. You know what I mean? So I think it's important that we study to show ourselves approved, and then again, I think it's really about obedience to what God is calling, and even being faithful to our ministries, which is something I really wanted to talk about too. When we talk about we're redeemed and how God's going to use, because that scripture, it talks about, you know, that zealous for good works. I'm stuck right there, because what do you say, bro? I know you've been in ministry a while. You see men. We're gonna pick on men today. That it seems like they never could do anything. They're never available for anything. You can't never find them. You only can find them for for the fun stuff. But when you ask someone to sacrifice time and talents, it's a struggle. What do you say to that, sir? We're going in deep right now for these last couple minutes.
Okay, so I guess we're stepping on toes today. Well, what I find is that we as men, and once again, we want to talk specifically to the men. We as men, when we aren't in the right place, we don't want someone to see it. Once again, that goes to that win-loss column that I talk about. See, if I call you and ask you to help me with do something, or you're being asked to help to do something that's a sacrifice of your time, now you make an excuse because you have to sacrifice something else you don't see the reward in. But if it's going out to have fun, the reward is I'm having fun. Yeah, I'm going to go out. Like, you can get a guy to go to the basketball game or to go to the gun range with you. But if you say, come out and let's go to these people, you know, at this homeless shelter, or let's go clean the building. We got to clean the building up. Like, we need to clean out the storage room. We need to clean out this. We need to do that. We need to fix a bunch of stuff around the church building. We need to go and help such and such move the stuff out of their house because they had a flood in their basement. See, it's a sacrifice of your time when you figure, oh, I got, that's taking up too much of my time. I got things I want to get done, I need to do. You'll sacrifice for what you feel like you'll enjoy. But the blessing is that when you realize the enjoyment you'll get when you serve God because of when He sees you serving, even when it's uncomfortable, He's willing to give you a greater blessing. See, we all look at it like, oh, even talk about our salvation. We talked about, you know, submission in our discussions, in our past discussions about submission. When we talk about how hard it is for people to give up their old life, it's always about I'm giving up something, never that I'm opening myself for an opportunity to be blessed. See, if we were to look at our chances, our opportunities to serve as a chance to be to receive a blessing or to be a blessing, then it would be something different. But all we see is the sacrifice, what I have to give up, what I won't get, It's cool to go hang out with all the guys from the church when you're talking about doing something you like, when it's going out to eat some food you like, or going to the game, or going to the gun range, or doing something else that you feel like you're going to enjoy. But the minute it becomes a sacrifice, now it becomes a burden. We got to get to the point where we see that the sacrifice is what opens the doors for even greater blessings. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. Amen. And again, we challenge you, brothers, to consider. Every man has to consider who he is and where he is and what he believes and know who he is and that he has a purpose. You know, we have to look forward to the rich meaning and purpose that God's future plans for us. Today is the day. What do you see? You see yourself? I mean, you might be listening live. You may listen to the broadcast later on during the week. But we want to encourage you to consider what you think God's plan and will for your life, that He does have one. But are you lining up with it? Are you in a place of submission where you're ready for God to use you, wherever you are? No matter. And then let me say this. It's not about titles. It's not about you wherever you are in your maturity and growth. It's not about how many scriptures you memorized and all the other things, or who recognized you or ordained. Because, you know, one of the things I've learned, especially in being part of a fellowship, once you get to know people, once you get to know the mission, the vision, and the passion of the pastor, and of the leadership and what they're called to do and the call in their life, once you get to that mature level to understand that, then you start to, as a man, you start to look at where you can be helpful in that thing. You know, the elder was saying about the sacrifices, those things he's talking about, the things that every church, I don't care if you got 25 members or 2,500 members, there's stuff that people need to be laboring behind the scenes to make ministry happen. To be able to go and reach, to be able to just do a Sunday service. You can't even get there on time. Okay? And you're the first one out the door. I'm going to let that rest right there. But still, these are the things that, and once you meet a certain maturity level, because we all, the thing we have to remember for every man listening out there, for every, even the mothers and the women that are listening, Is your commitment to the unseen God equal to your commitment of the things that you see that are pleasing to the eye right now? Your jobs, your degrees, your whatever, your house, you know, you remodeling your house because you want it to look different and better. You know, is your commitment to the unseen God the same as your commitment to the things you can see with your eye? Because that's where we can really judge your faith. Are you faithful to the things that's unseen and that you can't see the promises? You may know the promises because the Word of God tells us the promises of God, but yet, are you faithful to those unseen promises? Are you faithful to know that God has a purpose, that God, you're going to spend eternity with God? Are you faithful because the Bible speaks of the reward that we're going to stand in judgment before Him? The sinner man and the wicked is going to stand in judgment, and the righteous and the believer and the disciple is going to stand in judgment. But are you faithful to those promises that you're going to receive a reward from God? You don't know how long it's going to be, but are you faithful to know that you're going to go, and do you believe it? And that's where our faith begins, and that's where we have to be as men of God. Do we have a saving faith? Do we really believe the Word? Do we really believe who Jesus said? Do we believe His promises? And are we living a life, again, are we living a life as salt and light? Elder, I'm going to come to you for the close, and you have the final word, and you can close it up with prayer, but I do want to share one thing before I go with the audience. Again, the man of event is here. It's coming. We're ready. We're locked in. We're tied in. We're rooted. We're grounded. Our location, we've been paid. Our fees have been paid. So we're gathering together for our man of event. Saturday, October the 20th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. We're going to be in Glen Burnie, Maryland. You call us at 443-591-3504. Get your registration information. Email us at rejoicetv@gmail.com, and we'll send you the link. We have a PayPal account set up for electronic transfer. You want to be part of it. Again, that's on Man Up, Submission, Strength in Submission. Saturday, October the 20th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And I just want to encourage your brothers to come, be part of it, be blessed, bring your wisdom. So for even some out there, I ask that you come, that you might be able to share, and we never know that interaction and the fellowship that you might speak into someone else's life and encourage them to press on, to move on, to not leave their marriage, to not give up on their faith, to seek God more, because whatever you've been through is an example for them. Amen. So, again, amen. That's October the 20th, 2018, and the Man Up event, Strength and Submission. Elder, again, brother, thank you very much for spending your Saturday morning with me and sharing, and I pray all is well, and continue to do what you're doing, continue to seek God, and give my regards to Apostle Banks and the church there at New Vision for Life. Amen. You can close us out, amen, in closing statement, and close us out in prayer.
Amen. Amen. To all of the brothers that we have been talking to and speaking to about being redeemed, about how you know that you know, about knowing you are a man of God, that you belong to God and He belongs to you. I encourage you. We, like, as we always say, none of us have reached the place that God has stopped working on us. We are all changing every day. It's just we have to change our desire of which way we want to change. Prepare your hearts, prepare your minds. Let God show you who He is so you can learn who you are called to be. You are redeemed. You are blessed. You are called, called according to His purpose. One of my favorite scriptures is Romans chapter 8. It starts in verse 28 and goes through verse 29. Check it out. I don't have the time to read it out to you, but Romans 8, verses 28 through 39, it talks about it being called and that all things are working out for you for the good of those that love God. When you have called for God in your life, His answer is abundant blessing. His answer is that you have been redeemed from who you used to be and called and glorified and justified in who He is calling you and created you to be. You are a man of purpose. You are greater than anyone on this world will ever say that you are, because you are lining up with who the great I Am says that you are. Father God, we honor you and bless you. We honor you, Lord God, just thanking you, Father, that you continue to speak unto us, Lord God, that we will hear more of ourselves, more about ourselves, Lord God, as we desire to learn more of you and to call upon our lives. As men, Lord God, we stand with a desire to submit to you, Lord God, so that we will see the strength within us, Lord God, as we have submitted to your will and to your way. Use us, Lord God, not only that we would be blessed, Lord God, but we would truly be conduits to share the blessing that you bestow upon us each and every day in the abundance that is you and you alone. Consider us, Lord God, as your willing servants. We honor you and bless you and thank you for yet another day that we're given the chance, Lord God, to speak unto you and listen patiently to hear your very call upon our lives. We thank you, we honor you and bless you and pray to the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. To my brothers, be blessed. Look forward to seeing you next week, talking to you next week. Join in.
Amen. God bless you.